Steve is a little muffled. Could be my ears, but sounds a little garbled.
It's a special microphone.
Is that better?
Yes.
Getting fancy.
Now we all got to get microphones.
We're going to be in the red and then meeting in person before we need that.
All right, Chair, this is Anthony from AGP Video. I have my devices rolling and the floor is yours.
Great, thank you. Good morning, friends. Good morning, Morro Bay. My name is Steve Allen with Allen Property Group. I'm the chair of the Tourism Business Improvement District. Today is Thursday, February 18th. I have 9:04 a.m. We're meeting obviously via teleconference in remote locations. Just an advisory that this meeting is being recorded. We're gonna go ahead and start the meeting and establish a quorum. So if you're here, please just announce yourself. Amish Patel.
Here.
Joan Solu.
Here.
Chris Kosteka.
Here.
Nancy Dickinson.
Here.
Terry Ennis.
Here.
Wonderful, so it appears we have everyone. Thank you all for taking the time to join us. We're going to go forward with a moment of silence, and please just take into consideration the improving coronavirus counts and moving in the right direction, light at the end of the tunnel, and hopefully as we go into spring, a reopening. So we'll take a moment of silence. Okay, thank you all for that. Now we will have the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's so hard to do remotely.
Agreed.
Board member announcements. Do we have any announcements, board? Well, I would just like to say, obviously, we've had a barrage of emails over the past week. I would just like to stand up and thank you all for your service. I know that this has not been an easy 12 months and that we're all doing as much as we collectively can. You know, there were some comments about not being able to attend all the meetings, but you know, I think you're a great board. I think you've done a really good job, and I just personally want to say thank you for the time you've invested into Morro Bay and your community and making it a better place. So any other board announcements?
I would just say thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. Things come up in these crazy times, so.
Absolutely.
I do want to say that I think that the board itself, even when a board member is absent, I think that the board really does try to take into consideration all of the lodging units in Morro Bay. That's hotel, motel, whether they're full service, limited service, economy service, and vacation rentals, whether they're beachfront or just a single room rental in a home share. I think that we have, whether we have a full board or not, when we have a quorum, we have, which we have always had, we haven't, to my knowledge, missed because we haven't had a quorum. We really try to be conscientious of all lodging. And we even talk about state run campgrounds and the privately run campgrounds. So I think we are doing our best under these awkward conditions. And I don't think it's just because of absences. I think sometimes, I mean, I just struggled to get in here. I was having internet issues this morning. And so because we're reliant on technology, the technology doesn't always work either. One time Terry was here, but she couldn't talk. We couldn't hear her. So, you know, technology has restricted us too. But in any case, I just think we try to give balance, and I appreciate that from everyone because I've seen this board for a long time and it hasn't always been that way. So I think this is a well-balanced board. So thank you.
Great. Thank you, John.
If I can piggyback on that a little bit, in response to some of the emails we received from Sean Green, and I do appreciate his input, and I know he's coming from the position of somebody who loves and appreciates Morro Bay. I got a little bit different take after reading his stuff, and it came to the conclusion that what I think would be really an important role in our T-bid is we want outside, we want a city council member in, we want locals in giving input. I'm wondering how we can establish, and again, I don't think necessarily I'm the guy, but establish somebody who can go to the city council meetings on our behalf, because the mobile home overnight stays and this idea of raising T-bid to 11% are not items that have been brought before the board, at the TBID board, unless I miss those. We're not even hearing of those issues as they're proceeding, though we're not the decision makers on those in any way. Would, like Sean said, it'd be nice if we had, if we were aware of it so we could give our input, and where it goes from there is beyond our control. But anybody have any ideas on that, on how we could structure, even if we rotated? And, you know, if there's roughly six of us, that would be, you know, going, I think the city council meets weekly, though, if I'm not mistaken, so that'd be a lot of meetings. Maybe Scott has some ideas on how best we can see that or review the minutes. Scott, do you have a take on that?
I think I understand what you're saying. Council meets twice a month, most months. Your staff is responsible for bringing forward recommendations to council. So we're your conduit. If you feel inclined to submit correspondence to council, you know, as a unit, you can always do that. We're wary of having board members speak directly to council about things that haven't been decided by TBID, because it sort of can create a Brown Act violation. So it may not be speaking for the full board, so that there's a little bit of some issues around that. So we have to be careful. If you're going to make changes now, it'd be sort of the last minute, because this board is, you know, in theory, we're transitioning to a nonprofit board come July 1st. So I'm not sure it's, you know, worth the effort at this point, but it will be important to have good communication back and forth between the future board, assuming that transition moves forward, and the council. So I think that'll be established based upon what both this board has recommended and council has recommended, that a city person or representative be on the new TBID board, which would serve as a good vehicle to communicate in both directions. I hope that's helpful. With regard to the RV camping program, we did not bring that forward to this board because the RV kind of world said we don't want to be part of TBID. We did bring forward the vacation rental ordinance to this group because you represent vacation rentals. So that was a decision made by us. Maybe it was the wrong one, but certainly not trying to keep you guys out of what's going on in our community, but that was a decision made by us. And city's not considering 11 raising TOT whatsoever. Just want to make that clear.
And for what it's worth, I had a really good conversation with Erica Crawford at the chamber. And according to Erica, the chamber wasn't coming forward to the city council again recommending an increase in the TOT and a decrease in the TBID assessment. They were simply reiterating an economic sort of stimulus package that they had previously put together, but it wasn't specifically for the TOT increase. And she also called me back and said that they were going to look at that again and see if it's even relevant. And she apologized if they were misstepping in any way. That wasn't their intent. Their intent was really just to kind of help the city. So I felt good about the conversation. And I think their heart's in the right place.
Yeah,
John, you had a comment?
Yeah, I had a conversation with Erica too. She gave me a buzz. And I wasn't concerned at all about the report that they wrote came out last fall prior to the city council proposing a sales tax increase and the voters and residents of Morro Bay approving that increase. At the time, the city council wisely recognized that a 1% increase in TOT was a Band-Aid on a bullet wound in terms of what was occurring in our city economy. and there's just not enough money there to help the city with the 1% TOT increase versus the portion of sales tax. And 70% of sales tax is paid by tourists to this community, which shows the overall greater impact of tourism and why we need to focus on making sure that tourism money comes here. So wisely, they, I think, put forward a sales tax measure and allowed and are allowing for a reformation and a redirection of the marketing funds to really get things humming. Because I think we're going into a very big time of prosperity for you hoteliers and vacation rental owners and campgrounds, so.
Thank you, Jared. Any other board member announcements?
Real quick on that, Scott, I agree with you that I don't think any board changes need to be made in this interim. I also don't think that we need any new rules as it is. We don't have people clamoring for these positions. It seems like we are having difficulty filling them, and you have to go to the city council for approval. So city council can weigh all that. They can say this person has, you know, 5 hotels in town, but doesn't live local. This person lives local, but doesn't maybe have the same experience. And they just weigh all that when they make a decision of who they're going to put on this advisory board. So I think the system is perfect the way it is.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Any other board member announcements? Seeing none, staff announcements?
If I'm a little discombobulated in this meeting, I apologize. I'm wearing a public works director hat at this time and have been doing so for a couple weeks. So don't mind me.
We'll excuse you if you have to go fill some potholes or something.
Yeah, do real work, you mean? Yes.
Any other staff announcements? Okay. Any public comments for items not on the consent agenda?
Chair, I do have a couple, actually more than a couple, raised hands. I'm going to go ahead and unmute Sean Green. Okay, Sean, you're unmuted.
Thank you, TBIT. I appreciate you addressing my emails. Certainly, my intention wasn't to get somebody. Basically, I wanted to voice my frustration in the fact that I feel much better informed than most board members about issues that come up in this city, even tourism-related issues. And so that's really where I was coming from. And so I think Chris kind of nailed my sentiment or my intention by reaching out to you. Part of that, I think, is really the responsibility of individual board members to become better involved or better informed, at least. I respect Scott's position that, you know, they don't want TBID members voicing their opinion at council meetings, which I don't necessarily agree with, but I understand where he's coming from. But I also think it goes to the city kind of selectively informing TBID about issues. And so historically, it seems as if TBID board members sit back and wait to find out what's going to be on tap for a particular month or a particular board meeting. And that's determined by, you know, whatever the staff report that comes out includes, which, for example, this month's staff report or this month's agenda, entire agenda, is 2 pages long with no links to any of the underlying TOT information. Now, that's the exact opposite of what maybe a 2 years ago agenda might have looked like, that was hundreds of pages of marketing blurbs, which, you know, I'm thankful that we don't have all of that. But, you know, the disconnect with regarding information, I think, is real. I also want to point out that that Chamber works their butts off as an advocate for their members. And I kind of think of TBID in that same role, and I don't see it in the same way that I see it from Chamber. If instead you want to compare TBID to an enterprise fund like Harbor funds in jeopardy of becoming insolvent, and yet their influence in the city is so significant compared to what TBID has to offer, and their voice in the city is so much more significant than TBIDS. So yeah, that's basically what I wanted to say. I'm not out to get anybody. I just think that this is a matter of representation, both for, you know, for all parties included. And so I guess I'll leave it at that. Thank you very much for your time on the board, because I know it's not easy to get volunteers to do this. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Any other public comment?
Yes, Chair, thank you. Robert Red Davis, I have unmuted you and you're free to speak.
Okay, thank you very much. Good morning, TBID. I am your, I'm your liaison to the council. So I wanted to bring you a little bit of news from our January 26th council meeting. When we talked about the TBID conversion at that meeting, one of the questions that council considered was the new board makeup. And I was able to fill in the gaps for the council from your discussion at your January TBID meeting as to how you preferred to have that board made up of 7 people, 5 from lodging and one of those representing STRs, and then one from the community. And that's kind of your choice as to whether you want to, that community member would be a restaurant owner or chamber or just general public. And then one representative from the city. I did some research because I wasn't clear whether that representative should be a staff member or a council member. And I checked with all of the other cities in our county who have bids, and none of them has a council member. So our city council concurred that that member, city representative, should be a staff member. And then the council had a discussion about using TOT money to improve the Embarcadero sidewalks. And we had a good, robust discussion about that. And the final decision of the council was that the money you collect is for destination marketing. It is not for public works. And so your TOT money will continue to be for your marketing efforts. And that was a 5-0 unanimous decision of the council. So that's that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Councilman Davis. That was an excellent update. Any other public comment?
Yes, Chair. I do have one more raised hand, Erica Crawford. Okay, Erica, I've unmuted you and free to talk.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, Chair Allen, TBID board members and city staff. And thanks so much for the respectful and very informative comments that have been kind of discussed so far this morning. I'm making public comment today in answer to some renewed awareness of a policy document that was created by the chamber in the spring of 2020 and that addressed the city's fiscal solvency. This document, like all policy positions that are approved by the chamber's board of directors, was reviewed by approximately 24 business owner operators from varied industries, including lodging, serving as volunteers with the chamber, sitting on advisory committees, task forces, or on the board itself. In April, the economic impacts of COVID-19 brought on by public health orders to restrict economic activity and shut down businesses, they were severe. As you know and feel, the uncertainty of the pandemic's economic impacts are still with us. Our work on the city's fiscal solvency evaluated the city's budget. Our recommendations, including the sale of city property, passage of a sales tax measure, support of paid parking and RV camping, and a reevaluation of the bid and TOT split, were presented as a package aimed to balance the city's budget and bring much needed fiscal support to the Harbor Enterprise Fund. Our recommendations on the bid and TOT split was a zero sum gain, meaning that we were not recommending an increase of the total assessment and tax, rather a different split that would afford the city greater funding to meet basic standards of service, including things like picking up trash and cleaning public restrooms, things that our visitors and our residents expect. The city's fiscal or financial circumstances have changed with the passage of Measure E, and our board is undertaking a reevaluation of our fiscal solvency recommendations given this new information and funding. As you continue to move the good work forward of transitioning the bid to a private nonprofit enterprise, we look forward to working with you and your newly selected executive director, CEO, and board, not only on advocacy issues, but generally, working together to ensure that Morro Bay is a clean, beautiful, thriving, world-class tourism destination. Thank you. Have a great meeting.
Thank you, Erica. And we collectively appreciate, you know, all the good work that the Morro Bay Chamber does as well. Any other public comment?
Thank you, Chair. I do not see any raised hands left in the queue.
Okay, perfect. Moving, and let me just say, it's refreshing and great to have all the input. I mean, I've been in these meetings for years and it's usually sleepy and quiet, and it's good to have emails and, you know, public comment. And sometimes we don't, so thank you for that.
Hey, Chair, can I respond to to Erica and to Sean and Red just quickly? Sean, thanks for your input on that. I will agree that I do think we, as the TBID board, have probably lost our mojo a little bit. And there's good reasons for that. I mean, 90% of our efforts, as we spoke of before, were spent on advertising and marketing, which has all been shut down. So that has had a huge effect. Plus, you know, trying to maintain our businesses in this time has been extra tough. So with the changes coming in the next 4 months, and with the vitality of this board, I'm confident that we will get all that back when things get a little bit back to normal. It's just been a huge, crazy change where we never know what our funding is going to be for the future and whether it's right now to advertise or not right to advertise. Red, appreciate that you update us. I still think it's like, on Sean's point, for us to be better in tune with what's going on in the city might require us to not speak at these meetings, but maybe go or review the minutes. Not trying to sign us up for anything at this point, just throwing that out as an idea. And Erica, thanks for your good work at the Chamber.
Thank you, Chris. Joan, you had a comment?
Yeah, I just want to say that as the bid moves forward, I'm really, really happy to see the partnership between the Chamber and the bid. And as it moves forward and is independent, I completely hear Sean's point on advocacy. It's been, I think, difficult over the past few years to have advocacy because we had a city staff person who the city staff has to advocate for the city, but the lodging, we kind of lost our way of having advocacy for just for lodging, overall lodging. And I think that, you know, as we move to the future, that'll be great because as Red completely did a great review for the city council, has very much made the point that a city staff person will be heavily involved with the new board, and the Chamber proposes that they be a twin to us and a partner all the way along. And I think things are really looking bright for the economy for Morro Bay. And I feel great about the direction it's going in. And I want to thank Sean and Red and Erica for coming. That was more public comment than we've had in like a full year. So that was fantastic.
And really, those are all the reasons why we're moving to being an independent nonprofit. I mean, it's hard to advocate when we're part of the city, right? So
it is. It is totally. And I do have one question, though. It was brought up by Sean that there was going to be a possible expansion of the city's position on RV spaces up to 6 locations. Where are those 6 locations? Because I'm only aware of 2.
Here, start video.
Yeah, there's one by, currently there's one at Coleman. There's 3 spots there. There's about 5 or 6 spots in the triangle lot, you know, kind of where the boat storage area is, and kind of tucked in the corner. And then there's, I think, 9 spots over by you know, the harbor facilities, when you take the dirt road out to the pit parking lot. And then council approved continuing the pilot through September to get more data. They didn't feel comfortable that we had sufficient information to proceed forward with the permanent program, but also added that we could explore our options at the Rock parking lot, maybe like 3 or 4 total spaces over by the intake, which is kind of more the industrial side of the Rock. We're doing our due diligence with state parks and the Native American tribes about that. And then I believe the parking lot, the public parking lot, just next to the 456 Hotel in Embarcadero, a couple spots there, and there may be one other location. Again, those will be to continue as a pilot and then see what issues remain, what the total revenue generation is, and have about a full year under our belt at that point to make, for council to make a decision whether we want to pursue this on a permanent basis.
Scott, is it safe to say that it appears to be incredibly unpopular by the residents?
I think, I'm not going to speak for them. I think people who watched the meeting, maybe they caught wind of it on Nextdoor or other platforms, and just, you know, how it works in this current day and age. You hear something without the information and it's easy to jump to conclusions. When more information is presented, it gives a better picture of the why. You know, there's numerous whys, one being the Harbor Fund is enterprise fund and solely dependent upon the revenues generated by activity in that area. And it's not making the bill as far as balancing the operating budget, much less the numerous capital pieces required to keep that operating. The boats, the docks, the slips, the sidewalks, the restrooms, the Rock parking lot, the things that our tourists and our community enjoys, the very things that we enjoy about our community require investment, and we're unable to do so right now. So that was sort of the basis of that. And I think when committee members heard that, I think they got a better understanding of the why, and that may have helped some understand maybe we should give this a little more time. There are those who are adamantly opposed to it just on principle. Those that think we shouldn't be encouraging any more tourism. I think our response to that is that the campers are here, whether they're not able to get to the state parking, state campgrounds, or some of the other private campgrounds, they're here and they're parking in our neighborhoods. And that's what we experienced at the beginning of the pandemic and felt that was inappropriate for people to be sleeping in their cars in our neighborhoods. So we ratcheted up the violation citation charges for parking in neighborhoods and other public areas and sleeping overnight, and help push those people into available RV campgrounds, including ours. So I think there's a lot of things going on. There is still a continued interest and demand for RV camping or van camping. So it's meeting a need that's out there, addressing the illegal camping and helping the Harbor Fund remain solvent and begin to invest in the very things that we enjoy in the harbor waterfront area. So it's a complex matter, and I think council was prudent to just extend the pilot and let people really kind of evaluate it with more open eyes, and we'll see where it lands.
All right, thank you, Scott. Nancy, have you heard anything from the community?
Just as Scott said, what I've been seeing on Nextdoor, and it's very helpful to have these talking points, Scott. Are those talking points available in the council notes, council minutes? Or
it's in the council meeting, the staff report, but certainly can distill that down for the group and share
that'd
that.
That'd be really helpful, have those talking points.
Yeah, no problem.
Scott, do you collect TOT on?
Visit SoCal or TMD dollars as well are collected.
You do.
No TBID because, as we recall, RV camps aren't part of TBID, but everything else.
You could issue yourself a business license as a hotel. Then you could be part of it. We can market
that. Maybe in the future, yes.
Well, if there's nothing else, we're going to move on to the consent agenda. We're already over half an hour in the meeting here. So if there's no other staff announcements, we'll move on to item A1, approval of the January TBID board meeting minutes. we had a chance to review those?
I have, and I'll put in for approval.
Do I have a second? Thank you, Nancy. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. December TOT report and year-over-year report. Scott?
Yes, if you give me one moment, I got to deal with the pothole. let me send this real quick.
We've got to get Scott hats. You know, literally, you could switch them.
Take your time, Scott. No rush at all.
Sorry. Nobody likes dead air, right? Here we are. Okay. So what would you like me to present, or Taylor to present, the STAR report or TOT report first? What would you prefer?
This says TOT. You want to start there?
Okay. Let me pull that up. Yeah. And I apologize. Sean was absolutely correct. We erred in not including the TOT and STAR report. That's our bad, not intended. We were rushing last week, and that's probably my fault. Let's see here. Okay. Now I'm going to share the screen. I guess I'm not going to share the screen. Oh, here we go. All right, can everybody see that?
Yes.
There we go.
Yeah. Sorry about the delay, awkward pauses. So here it is. And Taylor, I don't know if you wanted to run through. And sorry, you all didn't have this in advance.
Yeah, I can just touch, I guess, on a few points that I just by looking at it. I think as a whole, even though it is still. Our TOT is down from last year, obviously. I think looking at it, it's still really hopeful to see that there is going to be a positive trend, I think, especially as we continue to move, hopefully, into the red tier as soon as next week. The Morro Bay TBID was only down about 13%, I think, for December, which I think is pretty good considering the circumstances we've been in and that we haven't been doing any kind of promotions or advertising. So I think once we get to a place where we are able to start picking up those promotions and advertising again, then we'll really be in a good spot. But is there anything else you wanted to add on TOT, Scott?
Any questions on the TOT?
Yeah, I think she covered it pretty well. I think one thing to note, and I know this is a little off topic, but relevant, and to help kind of contextualize this, when we budgeted the TBID, and we budgeted city for TOT for this fiscal year we're currently in, we thought we would end the year with 1.8 or something million in total TOT and about 500,000 or 550,000 in TBID funds. So you can see, just 6 months into the year, we've already pretty much matched what we had budgeted. So that kind of to show just how wild things swung over the summer months. So that puts us a good stead as far as, you know, when we make the transition, especially for TBID, to have a good war chest at your disposal.
Joan?
Yeah, Scott, yeah, you had a very, very, what I would say was a very, very conservative projection for the year. But what I'm curious about is, I'm wondering if we could next month, see not only 2019-2020 in comparison, but also see the 2018-2019. What I'm looking for when I'm asking that question is to see what kind of curve we're coming up on and how we're trending in comparison to the two prior years. In other words, yes, we're coming up, and yes, trailer parks are doing very well, but we have to remember that, you know, the state parks are closed. But when we look back, are we climbing at a point where we're surpassing the 2018, 2018-2019 year yet, so that we start to get to the point, how close, how far off are we to getting to last year? In other words, what's the climb look like? Does everybody understand what I'm saying there? And I think that's going to give us a bigger picture of how far we need to go and what kind of push we need to have when we're able to market again.
Yeah, I would love to see the same thing. Basically, so we get to the point as business gets back to normal, we can compare, when we say let's get to April, where we are essentially shut down completely, that we can compare 2021 April to 2019 April. Because 2020, comparing against that is worthless. The second component is we use those numbers to see how we're competing against ourselves in the past. The snapshot of STAR that we have here, that would be nice if that's expanded out for the whole month. This reports that 1 week period. I like, that's where we can see how we're competing against other markets in our county. So Taylor, there's probably a way to talk to STAR to get the monthly snapshot instead of just a weekly snapshot.
Nancy, you had a comment? Okay, maybe not. Taylor, I had a question. It looks like the number of rooms is down about 10 or 11 from this time last year.
Are you looking at the STAR report?
Or the TOT report.
Okay.
Where did we lose rooms?
Good question.
That's a great question. I don't have the specific occupancy, I guess, per hotel. That could be something I could look into, but it's kind of just an overall, I guess, so.
Yeah, I think one of our hotel, actually, I don't want to speak to it, Steve, because I don't know the answer, but we can ask our front office staff, because they're the ones who maintain the number of rooms.
Is it remodeling, Joan, do you think?
Yeah. I've seen two hotels remodeling in town. So that could be when they started, and, you know.
Right. So those numbers could come back up again, I guess is what Joan is saying, if and when those projects are complete. I'm not aware of any that have gone out of business during this time.
Next month, Rosas Landing will probably be showing up in our reports also.
Yeah, I think they're about to final the project. Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay. Any other questions, comments on the TOT report?
Is Rosas Landing going to be a vacation rental, or is it a hotel?
It's a hotel.
How many rooms?
I think, believe 10. Joan, is that correct? Chris would know, probably two. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We'll move on to the STAR report. Let's see. Oops, I went the wrong way, of course. All right.
And Scott, we had all of this in our packet, so.
Oh, interesting. It just didn't print online for whatever reason. So again, I don't know. Heather and I were trying to figure out what happened. So apologize to Sean and the audience who were trying to find that data. Chris, it looks like it has the running 28-day total. Is that what you're referring to as far as a month is concerned for STAR report? I'm still sharing the screen. Do you see that on the right side of the?
I'm not seeing that.
So the current week is like the first set of columns, and then you move over to the right and it says running 28 days total year versus our current year versus last year. Maybe
I'll look at it more later. It's a long,
because they do it landscape. I don't know how to break it out better. We just get a PDF from Visit SoCal, so we can't manipulate it. But it does have a current week, which looks at occupancy, ADR, RevPAR, and percent change, and then the other side has, and that's for that 1 week, and then it has a running 28-day total.
Correct. I see it. It's in the bar on top. Absolutely. My bad.
That's okay. I just want to make sure that was what you were seeking.
Yeah, that's it. Fix. That was quick, Taylor. You're good.
So, Taylor, I don't know if you had any comments to share on the STAR report.
Yeah, I guess also pretty similar to the TOT. The occupancy for this reported week is down, but it looks like only by 20%, which I think I would consider pretty good, especially since I think our December, January months seem to be slower than our summer months. And this is also considering we're not running any kind of marketing. So this is just people coming, which is pretty good considering everything that's going on. And then, like I said before, I think as things start to open up more, we should be able to see some more activity with Red Tier and indoor dining and that kind of stuff. And then hopefully once we get to a place where we are able to market, we'll see even more activity too. But it looks like for the running 28 days, specifically for RevPAR, it was doing better than this specific reported week, so it kind of shows that I think we're going to start trending upwards as things continue to progress in a positive manner. So,
Taylor, the same thing is going to happen on this report that is happening to the TOT report, which means that when we get to, you know, like the end of February, March, April, and May comparisons, it's going to reflect completely opposite. It's going to say, right now it's saying we're 20.9% down compared to last year, 29% down compared to last year. It's going to then swing the other way and we're going to be 60% up because last year the hotels were closed, right? Mm-hmm. So is there a way that either when we start to reach that point that we can plan ahead and in February go back and include in our packets the previous year? You would have to go back to the previous February's packet and look, but hand us the STAR report for not only the one that they put out for the month in the month, but the previous year in the month for the month, so that we can see an apples to apples real side by side comparison.
Right.
Is that something that the board wants? If you guys don't want that, then, you know, I'll go back and look at it myself. But I don't, if you guys don't want that for comparison, I don't want to make you.
I think that's a good recommendation. Thank you, Joan. I think we all just want more occupancy.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And we're really seeing that. Amish and Chris, I don't know what you've seen, but you know, we had a very busy Valentine's Day / President's Weekend, and the guests seemed to not be going home as we thought they would. So,
agreed.
Yeah, things are looking good. Any other comments, questions on the STAR report? Do we have a motion to approve as submitted?
So moved.
A second.
Mish, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Thank you for that. Thank you, Scott. Moving on to business items. Item B1, election of chairperson and vice chairperson. Heather Goodwin asked me to share per the advisory body handbook. It states that the chair and vice chair of the board, as well as any presiding officers, shall be hoteliers. So that would limit your choices to either Chris, Amish, or myself.
Do we have any nominations for chair?
We keep it the same? I mean, are you two willing?
A nomination.
Oh, sorry.
Do you want to make a nomination, Joan?
Yeah, I nominate, we have Steve Allen as chair and Chris Kosteka as vice chair, and we keep it the same.
Okay, we'll take them one at a time. Do we have any other?
I would believe that Amish is vice chair. Is that not correct?
Correct.
Yes, he is. That's right. John, you're muted.
I fixed that.
And I would like to keep it the same also, but that's Steve and Amish, and with the idea that in the future, I am looking to step up my game with this board, but not quite there yet.
That's It's good to hear. Nancy or Terry or anybody else, any other nominations for chair or vice chair?
I totally support Joan's suggestions.
Okay, so we would be taking a motion for for Steve Allen to be chair and for Amish Patel to be vice chair. Is that correct? Make sure that, okay. Heather, is that good? I know it's probably not 100% following all the rules, but is that good for you to take the vote now?
Yes, and then we can take board consensus and we can ask if there's any, I guess, public comment, if there is any.
Oh, do you want, okay, so you want to put it to public comment, chair, before we take a vote?
Sure. Okay. AGP, do we have any public comment?
Thank you, Chair. I do not see any raised hands in the queue.
Joan?
I don't have public comment, but I do want to say that we perhaps need to review our bylaws because Sean did make a comment which raised my eyebrow, and going back and I'm the only one with, like, you know, historical memory of what happened on the board. We didn't have any vacation rentals on the board. Vacation rentals, Terry, were not part of, as you know, up to this past year. And so there would be no place for the vacation rental because as the way the bylaws were set up, it was set up so one of the five hoteliers would step up and be, you know, the advocate as chair and vice chair, because the board at the time didn't want to see, you know, a restaurateur and a retired shoe salesperson be the chair and the vice chair, let's say, and have, you know, that kind of advocacy role for the hoteliers. But now that the vacation rentals are actually participating, I think it's only fair that they should have the opportunity to be chair and vice chair in the future. And I think we need to review our bylaws. So that's something that I think the board should actually just consider.
Yeah,
in terms of being equitable.
I think that's a good idea. I definitely think Steve Allen is the right man for the job at this point.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Really appreciate his expertise and everything. But for the future, I think that, you know, a vacation rental should have the opportunity to at least be nominated.
Sure.
Well, let me just say I appreciate the support. You know, there's a lot of different ways to look at this. I feel strongly that a hotelier that's an actual owner that lives in the area is probably your best choice for a position like this that has the time and the bandwidth, and not just necessarily an employee, because the owner is going to be, you know, looking at the income and expense statement and paying the mortgage and really seeing that the business is sustainable. And you know, some of the emails, the comments are right. You know, somebody local that's going to have a better feel on the area. But, you know, for now, I'm happy to do it. But if and when we can find that right hotelier that's an owner and lives in Morro Bay, I think that might be a really good option for, you know, leading this group into the future. So, Joan, I think you need to buy another hotel, is what I'm saying.
Thanks, Steve.
When are you moving?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So do we have any public comment? Did we check that already, AGP? I'm sorry if we did.
Yes, we did check for public comment.
Sorry about
there
that.
There are no raised hands in the queue.
Thank you for checking again. Heather, do you want to take a vote on the motion? And who was the first and second? Did we have a motion on that? Joan, were you the motion maker?
Yes, I moved that we have Steve Allen and Amish Patel as vice chair. Steve Allen as chair, Amish Patel vice chair.
Do we have a second for that?
I'll second.
Okay, Chris second. Joan made the motion. All right. Heather, you want to take a roll call on that?
Sure. Board member Solo?
Yes.
Board member Costeca?
Yes.
Board member Dickinson?
Yes.
Board member Ennis?
Yes.
Vice Chair Patel?
Aye.
And Chair Allen?
Yes.
Passes 6-0.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay, next item B2, verbal report on the Morro Bay TBID conversion process.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'll try to keep this brief. And Councilmember Davis, you know, pretty much said it perfectly. The council did review the business plan with, it's like sort of, or microcosm, the service plan, which is part of the bigger management plan. The management plan is the legal document that would establish the T-bid and for the five-year process, assuming it gets approved. That's what those who are petitioned and asked to sign this to be part of the 50% plus that's required to get it to move forward. They'll have a petition, but they will have access to the full management plan. So council elected the service plan, which is really the more the meaty part of it, which is, you know, the service area, the assessment rate, the duration, the purpose and uses of the funds. And they I think 100% approved what you all recommended. So we're moving that forward. I reviewed the next draft of that, which was thankfully put together by Civitas, so we didn't have to create that document. I sent it over to our attorney to review to make sure it's all copacetic with all the state code that we have to follow. And then he's also reviewing the draft petition that would be sent around to hoteliers and vacation rental owners relatively soon. So that review is, I think, complete. We are going to have a subcommittee meeting of Chair Allen and Member Salu shortly after this meeting today to talk about the next steps in that outreach. But that'll be the next step is doing the petition drive. And then we will have the more legal process where we have to do several meetings at City Council, both to begin the new T-bid and unwind the existing ones so that those align for July 1st. The money could be transferred from the existing T-bid, the city, over to the nonprofit board. All while this is occurring, the nonprofit board has to be established and created. And thankfully, Ms. Solo has been a participant in that process in the past. And I think she's volunteered herself. I'm not exactly sure, but has volunteered herself to help me and Civitas work through some of those nuts and bolts. And I think Chair Allen will be able to help us as well as part of that subcommittee, because there's a lot of pieces to kind of consider. And we may need a little bit more input from this board. But I think generally we have a good sense of what you're looking for as far as makeup and how you want to function and collaborate with the city and chamber. So basically, as of now, there's nothing we need from this board. Just know that we're moving ahead, and the petition will be going out shortly, which will really tell us if there's support for it beyond what we've heard informally. Joan or Steve, do you have anything you'd like to add to that as the subcommittee members?
Any comments, Joan?
No, I'm looking forward to the petition going out. I'm hoping that we have some good advocacy for that. I'd like to see the Chamber Director, Erica, have a good understanding of that process as well, because I'm sure she'll be getting some questions, right? There's 200 vacation rentals involved now, right? So that's a lot of people. So I think that it would be great for maybe the subcommittee to put together some talking points for you all in case you see public comment or you see questions come up, and who do we direct those questions to? Right now that would be Scott, obviously, when he's not wearing his public works director hat.
Same time as well.
So those kinds of things will probably be forthcoming to you. So keep your eyes on your emails.
And Taylor's going to help with our newsletter, getting the information out and using those talking points we need to develop. But I think the earlier discussions that you all had in engaging with Sean is really sort of apropos. It's having more representation and being more clued into your industry, but also having the touch points with your city and community by having a board member from the city and the community. So that, I think, by and large, will be it. We fully intend to do that full petition drive. An important thing to note is you only need 50% of the revenue generation to support it, but clearly we want to go beyond that and make sure there's an emphatic support in both the VR and hotel community.
Well, Joan also had some good comments about, you know, the level of detail and work that needs to go into this. And there is, you know, in speaking unofficially with some of the other contributors to the bid, there's some anxiety as we slowly separate and become independent that we have, you know, professional leadership in place. So has council clarified, you know, maybe not when we can hire a new executive director, but when we can start that search?
Yeah, I think the search is an easier question to ask. You know, we can start that as soon as we have a sense of things moving forward. I wouldn't want to do that until we have 50% banked on the petition, which could come as early as a month from now, maybe even sooner than that. You know, it's just interesting because the board isn't created yet. So it's almost like we have to start that before the recruitment, before the board is created. So there's a little bit of a who's on first to sort out. But I would expect that we want to start the recruitment as the latest is probably April. Knowing I'm going through a couple of recruitments on our end and executive level, and it does take 2 to 3 months to bring somebody in. So if we start April, then I think we would have somebody who could be in the position as early as July, potentially earlier than that. Now, if they start before that, then that's where I need to do a little bit of research with HR and our legal to see if we can bring them on as a contract to the current TBID before they become an employee of the new board. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Questions I gotta follow up on.
Yeah, let me just reiterate, all indications I'm seeing, you know, as California reopens and the cases go down, is that it's going to be a very busy spring and summer, which is what we all want. We just don't want to be, you know, behind the cart here in terms of advertising compared to the surrounding, you know, municipalities, et cetera. So,
correct.
And even if fast track.
Right. Even if you can't advertise with the new person, there's work to get up to speed and learn, you know, who their bosses are, learn about the city and the community, assuming they may be coming out from out of town. If not, they're local, that's even better. But there is some stuff they got to do just to get up to speed.
Sure.
The timing of the advertising is still way out up in the air.
There's also an opportunity, yeah. You know, having been somebody that's done a lot of startups and whatnot, there's a different person that you want to hire to establish things versus somebody that does steady state work.
Right.
And so there's really an opportunity to find some consultants who can help with the strategic planning and the establishing the nonprofit, and then and that's an expense. It's not a hire. I know headcount can be really difficult. So, you know, it's also kind of an opportunity to start to look at, are there some people that would never want the job of executive director, but they are the right people to bring in to do a lot of the original big thinking, strategic planning in establishing the nonprofit overall, and the initial advertising and marketing opportunities short term.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I think this board has talked about that. Is, yeah, what the comprehensive management plan is not a strategic plan. It is the requirements of the state. You know, all the boxes you got to check, and it has a nice name on it, and pretty pictures on it, but it's not a strategic plan, right? And we all know what we were able to accomplish a couple of years ago. And a strategic plan was a good start, but it's not where it needs to be. So I think, again, this new person would probably be working with the board to make that come alive. And absolutely, I would expect you want somebody to facilitate that isn't the executive director, because they're going to be trying to learn the city and learn the system and all that, learn the community and their surroundings. So that's excellent advice, Nancy. Sounds like you might want to be added to the subcommittee.
Any way I can help.
All right.
So to make that point and give you a nice picture of what happened, there was a transitional consultant brought in to establish Visit SloCal, who worked for a year getting Visit SloCal upstarted. At the end of their contract, or towards the end of their contract, the transition was made where a hiring process happened and Chuck Davis was brought in. Prior to that, when they first started, before they were Visit SloCal, it was, help me out, it was a God help me, what were they called? Something, yeah, it was the VCB, that was something else. The same thing happened during that something else transfer from being a VCB to being a bid. And so that's a very common way of doing this, is to hire a very dynamic transfer team to bring in, you know, get set up, do all the administrative work that we need to get done, and get to the hiring process and the actual deep-rooted marketing plan and strategic plan, set that in motion. So it's not a new wheel is what I'm saying. We're not reinventing anything.
Right. Well, we could bring this up with our discussion at with Civitas this morning and sort of gauge that a little bit more, Joan.
Okay.
You're right, Chair Allen, this, we are getting, it is February and July seems far away, but it's not.
It's very fast.
It'll be here.
It's not.
Just like that, it'll be here, so.
Any other questions for Scott? Okay, moving on to item C, declaration of future agenda items.
Did we want to take public comment on that, Chair? I know we're not, you don't need to vote on anything, but just see
sure.
Any thoughts out there.
AGP, any public comment?
Thank you, Chair. I do not see any raised hands in the queue.
I do want to say thank you to Red Davis for advocating for us with council and really giving them a good overall picture. I think he's going to be key to this transition in the community, and I hope that when we get our talking points together that we can generously share them with him.
He has a very good newsletter. Get the word out.
Chair Allen, did you ask for a new agenda items at this point? It sounded like, almost felt like we were wrapping up, so I wanted to make sure I had a chance.
Yeah, I think we're safe to move on to declaration of future agenda items. Did you have something, Chris?
I did. I want to present a big challenge that we're going to have here very quickly that I can't, you know, overstate the importance of it. I agree with Red when he said that our dollars should be spent on marketing, and I agree. I don't know if we have an executive order clause or something similar to that, but we're going to have a huge problem here within the next 2 weeks. Trash, I know it's an ongoing bugaboo, but it's already still a problem. Maybe we see it more because we're right next door to a park that has a dumpster that we, all weekend long, we unfill it to the point that our trash is so full now that I'm throwing it in the back of my truck and hauling it away. But timing wise, I do believe in 2 weeks, if we drop to red, which Scott may give some input on that, it appears that's going to happen. I think tourists are going to be back in droves. And when the tourists come back in droves, the restaurants are still only going to be open 25%. So that means the takeout is going to go up even more than it is now, not less. It's going to go up more. And we have no place to put this trash. So when we talk about what type of clientele we want as guests, I can't overstate that the guests that we're trying to attract will not come back if there is trash all over town and seagulls dragging it and trash in our beach. They'll be gone and it'll be a lost opportunity. So funding for this is huge. And if TBID could get involved without setting a precedent that go to TBID for money, I would be all for it if it's legal and can be done. But it's huge. And we got to come up with a plan.
Yeah, we can bring something forward. We're planning to go to council in March on that. I've been talking with my colleague in Pismo, same issue there, same issue in SLO, same issue in Truckee, where our former finance director is now the city manager. Same issue everywhere with takeout dining. So everybody's trash system has been completely overloaded, both cities and private. So they did a 30-page report to their council, and basically what it boils down to is you have to create the Disneyland model. There's never going to be enough trash cans to absorb all this. You just need the staff to pick it up continuously. And last weekend, our maintenance guy, who's awesome and very resourceful, he had to drive on the bike path to get to the Rock parking lot because it was hour long wait. He would have been waiting an hour to get his truck to the trash cans there and to the restrooms there. So we had to figure out a different model because I think, Chris, you're right, this weekend was a wake-up call. The weather was terrible. I mean, it was windy, it was cold, and it was like a Memorial or Labor Day weekend in terms of the crowds. So and we had to jump on it. I was hoping we have some reprieve and be able to jump on it in the summer, but it's here now. And Pismo's response to their council was that we just need to add more staff. Because adding trash cans isn't going to do it. You're still, those will fill up just as fast because, you know, people are putting trash in lightly. They're not pushing it down. It just takes about one or two families after the city has just cleaned the trash can like you're doing, and it's full again. So part of it is, I think, a big solution is just adding more people. And thankfully, with how we've done financially, we're probably able to bring that on. We were hoping to hold off until late spring to hire more people, but we might have to do that now, or at least bring people in on overtime. But I'm definitely open to ideas if there's other solutions. We've looked at trash compaction. Those tend to break down given our climate, and then they become worker comp in waiting because mm-hmm. of the heavy load you have to pull it out and the very unergonomic position your staff have to be put in to pull out. But we're definitely scouring to different ideas, and we're not alone in this chase. But I definitely appreciate your perspective that there's no excuses. We have to find answers nonetheless.
Well, granted, it's difficult to police takeout dining, but it just seems intuitive that the restaurant should be contributing in some fashion too. You know, they've been resistant to their own type of bid, but I mean, if it's their takeout that's creating a lot of this issue, it seems like they should be helping out as well.
Right. And I think some of them has definitely stepped up to help because they see the same issue and they don't want to get the bad reviews either on Yelp. But that's
problematic in itself too, because they take their takeout and then they carry it to the parks and the beaches. Right. Right. And it's left there. And our trash cans aren't designed to switch. So I completely agree. It's a staffing, which right. means it's a funding, which means it's a money issue. I'm saying, he did board member, I would be interested in us considering some contribution if it's legal, if it's practical, if it's smart with the rest of the board on a short-term interim basis. Because this is quick. I really think it's going to be not April. I think we're going to see this by mid-March. We're going to just be inundated with trash.
No doubt with spring break coming, we're going to see a resurgence in beach visits. I think we have a couple of issues I don't know if you've been to Santa Barbara recently, but along the waterfront in Santa Barbara, Cabrillo Beach Boulevard, every 15 steps, there's a waste receptacle. Every 17 steps, there's trash on the ground. So I want to be very clear that it's not just trash cans. The trash cans overflow. They have traffic issues just like we do. We have to remember that, you know, it's okay to dine together if you've taken the inside outside. So our sidewalk spaces are taken up with seating, which causes it to look much more crowded. People are grabbing takeout and doing exactly what Chris said. They're going to the beach with it, which clogs up the 1 hour drive to the Rock. Everybody, it's a great idea and everybody thinks great. So great minds think alike, and we all want to go to the beach or to the park and eat in a nice, beautiful open space. So I think that as we begin to open up, we'll see some of these issues alleviated. We have to remember that this is a 100 year pandemic. This exact thing and these exact problems happened 100 years ago, and society did it. They lived through it, and we all made it together, and we came back 100 years later and hit the replay button. And, you know, we're going into the roaring 20s again, and so there's going to be a very robust period, and the better that staff can address some of these things and get out in front of it now. I don't know, Scott, if TBID is able to, or if the city is able to find a group of volunteers that might take this, might take some of the stresses off of city staff, whereby
they could
maybe fund their supplies or something and help them as a nonprofit.
right? We love those partnerships, and we had the Trash Hero program running last summer, and people who had been picking up trash for years, you know, get celebrated, and those just, hey, I want to help, you know. We totally benefit because they get to the areas that our staff aren't able to get to, you know, when they're just jamming down the line to empty the trash. And they know from the pressure I put on them how important it is to pick it up as fast as possible. What I'm hearing from Chris is, and I want to see if that there's interest from the board, is to bring back an item as soon as possible to see if there's interest in supporting with the existing TBID dollars to see if you want to support that, to see if we can get more staff for temporarily for this year. That's a question that's been posed. So is there interest from the other board members to have that discussion?
Yeah, I agree with Chris. I would just recommend we limit it to the public places like the beach, like the park. When you start talking about specifically cleaning the Embarcadero, I think that benefits certain properties and maybe not others that are, you know, geographically located in different sections of the city.
Right. This applies. I mean, it's primarily beach waterfront, but it's also downtown. It's everywhere. I know Christie's at the waterfront because his business is right there, but it's everywhere. So it would be generalized to the city, Steve. So I think that answers your point. Where we have tourists and they're in our parks, they're in our beaches, and they're in the waterfront. So it's and downtown.
So Scott, are you saying that there are funds available now to hire more staff?
There are funds in the TBID. Now the question Chris has asked is, does the board want to consider using TBID funds for something that otherwise would be funded by the city general fund?
Is there city funds available?
That's where we're in the middle of our mid-year budget updates, and we're talking to council next Tuesday about it. We were going to talk about trash in March. Again, we thought we'd have more time. So it may be an item that, since Mr. Davis is listening, he might bring it up, and I can bring it up during mid-year. We can look at that. But of course, if we want to get a lot more people out there, we might not have enough in our general fund. So it's worth the conversation, and I can speak to our attorney about the proper utilization of those funds, in time for that discussion.
And the Harbor Fund, would they participate? Could it be like a group of funds participating?
We're looking to help offset Harbor Fund trash costs because they went off through the roof this summer too, and put them behind the eight ball on their budget. So the general fund's going to try to come in and support their shortfall. Good question. They don't have extra funds at this point.
Scott, my rough idea, and I was drafting something, and I'm sorry I didn't get done in time to get it in for the meeting, but some sort of partnership, a limited partnership. I'll just throw out a rough idea of matching funds between the city and TBID, so it gives incentives for both, and timed based on perhaps when restaurants are back to, say, 75% occupancy. I don't even know if that's one of the grids. I think it goes 25, 50, and essentially 100. But, once they're back up to 75, I think a huge part of that problem gets eliminated, and that now people are leaving their trash at the restaurant. The restaurant's putting it in their dumpsters, and they have systems. So some time frame based upon reopening and a matching funds idea. If you can formulate something to go to the city and then bring it back to us, that would give the TBID board time to digest the idea.
That's a good suggestion. I think typically the order is we go to the advisory board and then to council. So I'll need to think about it. I just want to know, get a head nod from the group if there's interest in this, and then I think Chris and I can explore it offline. If is there support for this, Nancy too, and Mish? Okay. Yes.
Yes.
I want to be clear. I'm not hugely supportive of using TBID funds for this because it's supposed to be used to get people back into the hotels, but the hotel people are going to be eating at the restaurants along with all the residents. I do think that there are probably some funding sources that may be available. I don't even know. Maybe the Coastal Commission would be interested in helping us get somebody to monitor the beach. I mean, they've got deep pockets, right?
Sure. You don't have to say how you'll vote on it or your feeling. It's just, do we want to have the item come back or not? And then we can have the discussion then. And
okay.
Certainly we'll look to our sister cities to see what they're doing. But I think a lot of ways they're just seeking to apply as much staff to the problem as possible. So,
yeah, I'm totally willing to have a discussion on it and see what's out there and available for us.
And so we'll bring that forward. Chris and I, you and I will talk about timing and how to do that if you're okay with that. Have you and I will set up a call. Is that okay?
Say that again, Scott.
Is it okay? You and I have a sidebar on this?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Okay, but we'll bring something forward. We'll figure out the timing. The other is I submitted on behalf of Ann and Ron Reisner. I'd spoken to Ann about the puzzle idea, and she submitted a letter. I said, suggest you submit a letter to TBID. I don't make decisions for TBID. But she had a pretty novel idea about using an artist who develops puzzles based on kind of popular community or tourist destinations. Sounds like they're moving forward and they're seeking TBID support for this. So I'm not asking you to say do you support it or not, but would you be willing to entertain a future agenda item on that? They're trying to aim for next Christmas season for these things to be deployed to stores. And I guess in Costco, they have thousands of these across all the Costco stores. So it's apparently a very popular pastime. I didn't realize how popular jigsaw puzzles are. But again, not asking if you want to support it or not, but would you be willing to entertain it as a future agenda item?
Yeah, the letter was a little unclear as to what this $5,000 that they're seeking towards $40,000 that was just for the artwork. It didn't include any of the costs of actually producing the jigsaw.
They take it from there. The company actually creates the, once they do the artwork, then they want to make money on it. They only take up so many cities a year. So they actually go through all the production costs. It's the cities or whoever has to make the investment in the artwork and that sort of deal. So I can get more information on it.
Yeah, I'd just like to see a breakdown. Because it seems to me that they're getting into an area where the cost of goods is so high that it doesn't make any sense.
Right. I think
the artwork is so expensive that running out on that just doesn't sound feasible to me right off the bat. So I want to see a breakdown.
I'd be interested in that person, one of them coming to our next meeting and doing a full presentation. They can do that. We can put them on the agenda, have them make a presentation where the board can ask questions at that time.
Really good. And to give a little more context, they're part of Morro Bay Beautiful, which has been a nonprofit organization that's dedicated to beautifying our city. Joan, you probably have more background on them for 20 or 30 years now. Helping take on things the city can't, much like our other partner, Morro Bay and Bloom. So they have a vested interest in our community, and I'm not going to advocate for it. I just wanted to make sure there's an opportunity to discuss it in the future agenda item, and I can bring it back and have them present.
Anyone oppose that?
Okay.
Okay. So
thank you.
We will add that. I'd like to have a conversation maybe in the next meeting or the soon after that, just what our meeting schedule is going to look like going forward. I know we've been meeting via Zoom. It says executive order, but I'm on county boards that are still meeting in person, you know, granted with some plexiglass or something like that. But I mean, do you all like this format? It's more efficient, I think, but you know, personally, I miss meeting in person and, you know, being able to engage a little bit more. So give it some thought. And, you know, I'd like to kind of discuss what our meetings are going to look like going forward as things open up and we get into the red.
Sounds good.
I think my requirement there is just that all members of the board would have to feel comfortable meeting in person. I, for one, would be comfortable, but we need everybody. And if somebody's not, then I think you should really consider waiting.
I got shot number one yesterday.
Yeah, we could. We need to look at that internally, Steve. As far as I think we'd want to have an approach that we'd be general to our boards and commissions as well as council, and that's still an internal conversation we're having. I think some of the other cities are having that same conversation, but we can kind of bring that back as an update if you'd like.
Yeah, I mean, even if we just know, you know, if we get to the orange or we just have some kind of target, you know, what that looks like, or maybe we continue to meet via Zoom for the indefinite future here.
Right.
Is it, it's a city council policy though currently, or no?
Yeah, there's some discretion. I know some cities have opened and they have to create a lot of those kind of barriers. At this point, there is an interest to do that until we probably get to orange or yellow tier. But again, those are conversations we still need to have as a city, and we'd want to apply them, I think, consistently to all boards. So not quite there yet.
Okay. Has the state reevaluated its timeline in, I guess, reevaluating tiers that counties are on?
Not yet. And I know that there's, we're still in the color schematic, and I don't think they're going to change that for the time being. Yeah. But we can kind of give a more general COVID update the next meeting, if that helps.
Okay, I heard somewhere it moved to like a 5-day reevaluation, but I didn't know if that was true or false.
That might be a new thing. And we get new information daily, so but definitely can bring that forward for next meeting.
Great. Any other future agenda items, Joan?
The bylaws? I'm not sure if it's worth it, Scott, for us to look at our bylaws at this point.
I wouldn't change your bylaws because you just appointed your chair and vice chair. That's probably right. Something for the next nonprofit board to look at those.
Okay.
Anything else? Going once? Okay, well, thank you all again for your time. It is 10:23, and I will adjourn the meeting. Do we have a date for the next meeting?
Heather, do we have a meeting established for March? If not, we probably want to do a special.
March 18th.
Okay. March 18th.
All right.
Okay.
Very good. Chris, I'll be in touch with you via email, set up a call. And Steve and Joan will see you with you.
Great.
We will see you soon.
Thank you, Nancy, Administrator.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Taylor and Heather.